but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, and my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory for the and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Through the waters, walk me through the fire.
victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, and I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, worship Him.
For the enemy has shown you giants. The battle's too large. And it's too high to win. But I, the Lord, said today, if you will come back to me, if you will depend on me, said God, I will fight this battle and you will see victory, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is talking to us today. He's talking to us today. He wants to fight the battle for you. He wants to turn things around for you, but you've got to trust Him. You've got to get back to that altar. Have you forsaken the altar of the Lord? It's time to rebuild the altar of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Spirit of the living God. Lord, you are good, and your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Lord, we thank you for speaking by your Spirit today. Let us heed the warning, oh God. Let us heed this warning today. Lord, we're going to seek your face. We have warred long enough. We're weary. We're tired in the physical, in the flesh. We cannot win without you. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us, O God. We cry out to you. Forgive us, O God, for fighting in this flesh, for worrying, being so consumed with things that we cannot change. Only you, by your Spirit, can change. By the spoken word of God, can change. Help us, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house. God is good. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Praise the name of the Lord. What a good spirit in this house today. He is here. The river of God is moving in our midst. And He's not done yet. He's going to do something great in this service. We thank you for your prayers on our school of ministry. Went to New York City to do inner city mission work. We were able to work with Times Square Church, where David Wilkerson founded that church. And we were able to work with the New York City Relief and help feed the homeless. It was just a wonderful time. We got to tour the city and saw a lot of things. And once you go to New York once or twice, that's about all you need, some people. But them young people, they loved it. Praise the Lord. And it was a thrill to see them be able to work in ministry and also enjoy a good time together. Thank you for your prayers. Yes. All the children from age 5 to 11 go back to Children's Church. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for what we feel in the service this morning. Lord, we've come, each and every one of us, desperate to hear from heaven, to receive something special. Lord, it is the engrafted word of God which is able to save our souls. We ask you that, Lord, the Holy Ghost would drive it deep within our hearts, our spirits, bring conviction, bring help, bring comfort. Lord, it's through your word and by your spirit that we are changed and transformed. Lord, we don't want to be the same as what we came into this place this morning, but we want to be transformed by your spirit. We want to change from glory to glory. Lord, I ask you to do a deep work. We ask you in the precious name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to read the text again. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. I'm going to preach to you simple thought this morning on the deadly sin of pride. Pride has been called the mother of all sins. Why is that? Because from the sin of pride comes almost every other sin. It is, every sin has its root in the sin of pride. If you just really begin to analyze things that you've struggled with, what others struggle with, you can really attach it to that sin in its original sense. Pride is also called the original sin. Why is that? Because it was the first sin that we read about whenever Lucifer, this high-ranking archangel in heaven, he was in heaven, and we understand according to the book of Ezekiel 28 and 13 that Lucifer had pipes within him. He was, many theologians believe that he was the song leader in heaven. He had something to do with music. I'm going to tell you, he has something to do with music in this hour. I just believe music is powerful if it's used for God or if it's used for devil. I heard one preacher say that music is the only thing in earth that was created in heaven. Everything else was created in earth. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not preaching on this very long. I'm going to move on. But music was made for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is for worship. When you're worshiping, you're either listening to music worshiping God, or you're listening to the music of the world, and your worship is ultimately going to the devil. What music was purposed for one reason and one reason alone, and that is worship. Whenever Satan, this high-ranking archangel, was in heaven, pipes within him, he was a glorious angel, and so he thought in himself. The Bible said that one day this high-ranking archangel decided that he wanted to be like God. I don't know how long it had gone on or what it brought it about, but the Bible said something got a hold of Lucifer. We call him the devil, the son of the morning, Satan himself. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, here's what Isaiah says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. Listen to all the eyes here. I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Listen, then he says in verse 15, the scripture says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Anytime that you have I in front of the word or the phrase, oftentimes it's dealing with self, self-centered. It's dealing with that old flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I said a lot. It's not about me or you. It's about Christ and others. He saved me to serve Him. He didn't save me to get rich and to prosper in this natural life. If He prospers me, I am to prosper others. I am to prosper the kingdom of God. Listen, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Amen. He said, I want to be like God. Pride here is illustrated by Lucifer, the son of the morning. Listen to me. I understand that it seems like this is crazy. This is insanity, because it is insanity. This is what I call spiritual insanity. How could a created being, an angel that was created by God, say, I want to be like Him. I want to get the glory. I want to get the praise that only God deserves. In this kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, God knows whenever we're yearning for the glory and for the praise, whenever we want to be told about how much we've done and how much we've accomplished and how we want to be highlighted of the things we've given or the things we've done within the church or the kingdom or anything else. Listen, that ought to be a telltale sign. You get back on your knees and cry out to God. Listen, man doesn't never get the glory. All the glory belongs to God Almighty. And any time He doesn't get the glory and it's given to man, that man or that woman's heading for a fall, because God will share His glory with no man. Pride is spiritual insanity. For the devil, it's spiritual insanity. And for you and I, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And the Bible said God will lift you up. Pride is spiritual insanity. If pride is so powerful and so life-changing, if it can change an angel into a devil, what can pride do to you? What can pride do to me? I can tell you what it can do. It can change us. It can cause our minds to become twisted, and we cannot see what real reality is all about. Pride will blind you. Listen, before you excuse yourself from the deadly sin of pride, because we oftentimes excuse ourselves because we think of pride as a certain category. We don't stand in front of the mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? No, no, no. We never do something like that. No, we don't talk about those things. So we exclude ourselves from some category that we have seen pride in somebody else's life. Well, I don't do this or I don't do that. Make no mistake about it. Every single one of us in this house struggle with pride in some form or another. Some of you, God's dealt with you, and you've prayed and you've repented and you're changing from glory to glory. Some of you, you know you have pride. You haven't repented over it. And some of you are eat up with it and don't even know it. I'm telling you, every single one of us struggle with this sin, this deadly sin of pride. Let me just say, we all deal with it, and we have to constantly deal with it, because if we don't deal with it, it deals with us. Don't think of others this morning. I'm going to just say this from the beginning of this message. Do not think of others that need to be here and hear this message. God's already dealing with you. Do not nudge your spouse and say, you better listen to this. God's already dealing with you. That's our problem today. We think of others who this applies to. No, the Holy Ghost wants to do some surgery on our heart. He wants to do a spiritual sonogram. He already knows what's in that heart, but He wants to show you and I through the Word of God how much pride we have in our heart, how deadly it is. And I pray that the great physician at this old-fashioned altar will do a surgery this morning and eradicate, cut some of that pride out of our heart before our pride destroys us. Listen to me. If that's you, you think that your greatest attribute is humility, your greatest attribute is really pride. Some people think that they're so humble that they struggle with it. They're thinking, man, I hope I don't get prideful because I'm humble. Listen, you are proud. You are arrogant. It's just a matter of time. Whenever someone does not humble themselves before God, God will humble them. William Law said this: there can be no sure proof of a confirmed pride than when a belief that one is sufficiently humble. Listen to me. When you think that you're humble and everybody else has got the problem, you've got the problem. Because you and I, we are not humble like Christ is. I can tell you, you can compare yourself to somebody else. That's foolish. God doesn't want us to compare ourselves one another, but we must compare ourselves to Him. It's only when we see Jesus in the Word of God, in the light of His glory, it's then and only then can I be ashamed of my iniquities. It's then and only then does the Holy Ghost reveal the pride in my heart. Preacher, do you struggle with it? Oh, absolutely. And after this service today, you're going to find out you struggle with it too. Proverbs 16 and 8, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. When I see someone manifesting great pride, now, you know, our pride, the ones that have really grown in the Lord, it's more concealed. Amen? It doesn't manifest like everyone else's pride, but when I see it manifesting in someone's life, you know what I do? I immediately begin to pray for that individual. Oh, God, help them. Oh, God, deal with their heart. Convict them. Because I can tell you this, according to the Word of God, they are heading for a fall. Pride precedes destruction and the fall every time. Oh, listen, whenever somebody is arrogant, and you're going to see many faces of pride this morning, but when pride is manifested, they are heading for destruction. They are heading for a fall. They are about to be humbled by the mighty hand of God. I remember my dad used to say, you boys, you're cruising for a bruising. You need to be humbled. You're getting too big for your britches. I can tell you this, there are times that you and I get a little bit too big for our britches, and the Lord will bring something our way to humble us, and it's not for your destruction, but ultimately it is to get you back on the right track, to get your mind on Him, to stay humble before God, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I begin to pray for those because the fall in their life that's coming is inevitable. Brother Matt, why don't you warn that person? Why don't you warn that person that is eat up with pride? Because the very thing they're eat up with will cause a defense from hearing my words. Listen, it was Proverbs 9 and 8. Solomon says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Are you a scorner this morning? Are you one of those kind of people where you say, how dare you come to me? Are you one of those wives that say, listen, sir, this is the way I was when you married me. Stop trying to change me. This is the way I am. Oh, come on. Oh, get the mold out of your eye. Get this. Get the things in your life dealt with. Well, listen to me. That's the words of Christ. It shouldn't be the words of your wife. What about you, sir? Are you the kind of man that says, listen, this is the way I was when you married me. Why are you always criticizing me? Why are you always trying to change me? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity is all about change. I am to decrease that Christ may increase. I am to come. What is the perfect will of God? I'll tell you today, it is for you and I to be conformed to the image of Christ. The will of God is for you to be like Jesus, to love what He loves, to hate what He hates. It is for you and I to manifest His power and His glory in our lives, to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Proverbs 9 and 8 again, he says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. You ever try to bring correction humbly to someone that you had the right in a gentle, humble way to bring correction? What happened to them? They got defensive. There are times, again, that I can see someone that struggles with receiving correction, and oftentimes I just shy away from it. Now, if you're in a position in this church where you have to, then it's a very difficult thing to do, but I have to go that route. Listen, there are requirements for leadership, and it just so happened. I didn't write this message out because of leadership meetings tonight, but it connected today just now when I talked about the leadership meeting at 4:45. There are requirements for picking a leader in a church. Number one, they have to be accountable. Amen? They must be accountable. Number two, they must have a servant's heart. I learned this from a preacher years ago. And number three, they must be able to receive correction. Listen, there are so many people that come to me about this person's doing this and that person's doing that. And it's a hard place for a leader to have to go to that individual and say, listen, let's talk about this. Listen, it's not easy to do that. But whenever you are myself are corrected, we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Listen, God is close to a broken and a contrite heart. But if you and I stick our heels in the ground and we refuse to say we're sorry, to receive correction, to listen to somebody else, you are heading for a fall. You're about to meet your destruction. Oh, we must understand that there are things that we have issues with, and we have to deal with ourselves. I deal with defensive parents every once in a while, but our kids in our school and our parents are wonderful. We tell them from the very beginning, listen, the number one thing that we must get out of you is cooperation. If we deal with your child and you come and you don't believe what we're saying and you get defensive over your child, I'm going to meddle a little bit if that's okay. If you get defensive over your child, what you're doing is you're shaping that child in iniquity. I can tell you something. There are people out there that don't think their children do anything wrong. And they almost feel like it's an indictment upon them as a parent if their child gets in trouble. I'm going to tell you something. My kids get in trouble all the time. I try my best to raise them right, but they can be bad all by themselves. I had somebody tell me one time their child was lying to them. And I said, your child is lying to you. My child has never lied to me. And I said, man, tell me what you did, because I have never met a human being that's never lied. Oh, teach me how to teach my children not to lie. Listen, we live in a flesh body. We have an Adamic nature, and we can be bad all by ourselves. What you need to do is humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and God will lift you up. Oh, come on, church. When you're raising children and grandchildren, don't defend them. Tan their hide. Legally tan their hide the East Texas way. Amen. I tell you something. I never talked back to my daddy one time. I talked back to my mama. I ain't going to tell you one time whenever I became a teenager, she swung at me and she missed. Oh, but I started running. But I'm going to tell you something. My daddy, I never talked back to my daddy. I'll tell you why, because he didn't put up with it. And what we have to understand is, yes, your children are going to act up. Your grandchildren are going to act up. And if they act up here, you ought to just let any individual get on to them without getting your feelings hurt. Stop wearing your feelings on your shoulders. Is it a problem here, Brother Matt? Not that I know of. I just know the human nature of individuals. And I know what I've dealt with in counseling. But ladies and gentlemen, we must humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Our children are not little angels. I just throw that in free of charge. It's so hard to help someone with pride because they can't see it. That is the danger of this deadly sin of pride. Because if they could see their sin, if they could see the areas that they were weak in, they could deal with it. Listen, an alcoholic usually knows that he's an alcoholic. If you're living in adultery, you know that. If you're a thief, you know that. But someone who is eat up with pride, they don't know. It is that sin that is so deceptive. You can be eat up with it and not even know it. Listen to me today. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to reveal some things about us. Because I can tell you, every one of us deal with pride in some fashion or another. Please don't excuse yourself this morning, because pride has many faces. It may not manifest in one way, but it will show up in another. We can look at a story in 2 Chronicles, a story about a man named Uzzah. We all know this man. This young man was a king by the age of 16. Uzzah reigned as king for 54 years. And as long as Uzzah sought the Lord, God blessed him. I mean, he brought wealth to Uzzah. He brought victory in all the battles that Uzzah faced. Everything that Uzzah went through, God was with him. And he had over 300,000 footmen that was warriors that fought in battle, and Uzzah just gained strength and he gained power throughout the years. There was a time that Uzzah prayed and humbled himself and was completely independently dependent upon the Lord. But once he got to a certain place, he stopped depending on God. And I can tell you what happened. He stopped depending on God so much, he lost his fear of the Lord, and he went into that temple and made incense unto the Lord. And you know that the priests are the only ones that can make incense. He committed the same sin that Saul committed. And whenever he made the sacrifice, instead of waiting on Samuel the prophet, he got ahead of God. He didn't trust the Lord. And what happened to Uzzah? God smote him with leprosy. He's here in a leper column. In the Bible, we never read where Uzzah humbled himself and repented before God. He died in that condition. Why? Because pride got a hold of his heart. Don't let pride get a hold of your heart. Listen, everything you have today, God gave it to you. Don't ever convince yourself it's because of your intelligence, your abilities, they're gifts that God gave you. But God can take away those gifts as quickly as he gave you those gifts. Listen, as this church grows and as God blesses us, what happens to me? It causes a greater fear to get a hold of this heart. The blessings of the Lord can be taken away as quickly as he gave the blessings of the Lord. And I don't care where you are, in any facet of your life, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God will lift you up. The very thing that's going to take to keep those blessings, it took to get those blessings. Do you hear me today? And that is humility, dependence, prayer before a holy God. I have learned, and I'm learning more and more, I can do nothing without the help of Almighty God. What happened to Uzzah could easily happen to us. People start out dependent. Hear me today. Some of you are so dependent upon the Lord, but you don't have to be dependent anymore because everything's taken care of. Listen, if you don't humble yourself, God's going to bring you to a place of humility. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14, we read a story about the Pharisee and the publican. The parable is aimed at those who trust in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. We all know the story. Both the Pharisee and the publican went up to the temple the hour of prayer. The publican, he was a reproach to society. He's a tax collector. Everyone knew that he was crooked. But this Pharisee, he was one in the community that was thought of in a high way. And the Bible says in Luke 18 and 11, the Pharisee stood there both in the temple and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Thank God I'm not like him. Ooh. Look how ugly that is. Look how nasty that is. Oh, it's not one of those things where you look at that broken community of homeless people that we've seen in New York, several hundred of them, and say, oh, God, thank you for saving me. There's a difference in that kind of a spirit and saying, oh, God, thank you that I'm not like them. I've seen that kind of spirit in the church so long, not within this church body as much, but I have seen it out there where they're thinking, oh, I'm holy. I'm pure. No, you're not holy. The only thing that's holy, if you're holy, is Christ within you. It ain't all of the things you do on the outward. I believe in personal convictions. I believe in separation and sanctification. But you can't make yourself holy. The only thing that makes you holy is the precious blood of Jesus. He said, I thank God I'm not like this tax collector. I thank you, Lord. Then he says, I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And this publican standing afar off, he would not even lift up his eyes. He was so broken. And the Bible says he would smote his breast saying, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Listen, Jesus said, I tell you that this poor publican man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let me just say it like this. Every one of us need God. Every one of us have got to come to that altar continuously. Every day I come to that altar, the very first thing I do is I cry out to the Lord. Lord, if there's any sin in this heart, forgive me. God is attracted to humility. God is attracted to brokenness, not just at this altar, but in your everyday life. And he is repelled by pride. He resists them that are proud. You ever seen the old Heisman Trophy where that guy's doing the stiff arm? He's putting his hand on the helmet of a defender, warding them off. That's exactly what God will do with us whenever we're proud and arrogant in our spirit. Listen, you will never be more like Christ than when you're humble. But on the flip side, you will never be more like the devil than whenever you stick your heels in the ground and you're proud. Sometimes I just shake my head because I don't understand people. They refuse to humble themselves. That is the first requirement, to humble yourself before God, not just at an altar with him, but with others. If you refuse to humble yourself with your children, God's going to resist you. If you refuse to humble yourself with your spouse, God's going to resist you. If you, listen, it doesn't matter, any relationship, any individual, it's not just between you and him, because between you and your brother is between you and him. Humble yourself. Listen, don't be afraid to say you're sorry first, men. I've only went to bed angry with my wife one time. Boy, it's quiet in this house. But when I got up, you know, the Bible says don't let the sun go down in your wrath. I got up, I was mad at her when I went to sleep. But when I got up, there was disdain in my heart. I saw that pretty little thing sleeping on that bed, and I just thinking, man, I mean, all kind of things. I'm mad. Listen, when the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, I tell you what it means. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Make it right before the sun goes down. Don't wait for the other one to apologize. Why did you go to bed angry with your wife, preacher? Isn't that a sin? Absolutely, that's a sin. I was waiting on her to say she is sorry, and I fell asleep. You know what I'm talking about. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Jonathan Edwards points out some sneaky symptoms of the infection of pride. Let me just name a few. Here's some of the symptoms. I'm going to give you a whole lot more in a moment. But fault finding. When you're constantly looking for faults in others, you can tell. Now, again, I don't hear this, but I just know human nature. I know my human nature. I've heard things in the past. You look for everything wrong in the church. Why don't you look for everything right in the church? Well, you look at that individual and you see everything wrong with them. You're pointing them, you're picking them apart. You're chewing them up. You're having them for dinner. Why don't you look at that individual and look for something good in their life? It's a sneak. Sneaky symptom of pride when we find fault in everyone else. While pride causes us to filter out all the evil we see in ourselves, it causes us to filter out all the good in others. It just does that. Number two, he says the sneaky symptom of pride is superficiality. What does that mean? When pride lives in our heart, we're more concerned about others' perceptions of us than the reality of our heart. That means what people see. You ever heard the terminology, perception is everything? I've used it. What does that mean? That simply means the way people view you, whether it's true or not, is their view of you. The perception that you give off is everything. Well, some people in the church have become wise in using that superficiality, and they've learned how to look humble. Amen? Come on. They've learned how the things that people are looking at, they know how to make it all right, but they conceal that thing in their heart. It's all about what people see. We fight the sins that have an impact on how others view us and make peace with the ones no one sees. Think about it. perception. We don't want anyone to think that we're not holy, that we're not praying, that we're not faithful. So what do? We take care of the things that people see. Listen, that's a spirit of pride. What you care about is what men think about what you have, what about your own spiritual life. What you better care about, what I'd better care about, is what God thinks of me. Because God sees me in the secret place. God sees me at the store, at the restaurant. He sees how I treat that person on the phone. Come on, church. I'm telling you, we had better humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, or He is going to humble us. Number three, defensiveness. I talked about that a moment ago, but this is one of those sneaky symptoms of pride, defensiveness. Here it is. Y'all ready for this? You get in an argument with someone, or someone comes to you, you've hurt them. Well, they get hurt all the time. They're just too sensitive. No, you're too proud. What happens? They may be too sensitive, but I always say it like this. If I've hurt someone's feelings, even if I don't think I'm wrong, if I hurt them, I'm wrong. And whatever I've got to do, I need to communicate that thing. Why? Because they may be someone weaker in the faith. And Jesus said, if you offend one of the little ones that believe in me, it were better that a millstone hung about your neck and you be cast into the depth of the sea. What do we do when someone comes to us, a brother or sister or a friend, a spouse, and you come and you try to communicate your pain? You hurt me. You said something in front of everybody. What does many people that are full of pride do? They immediately turn it around. They get defensive and they shift it and start attacking that other person. No amens in this house. We get defensive, and that is one of the sneaky symptoms. We think that we're being attacked, and how dare you attack me? After all that I've done for you, I've been washing your clothes, I cook your meals, and the man may say, well, I take care of you, I'm the breadwinner, I pay the bills, and how dare you come to me? How dare you get defensive? That is a sneaky symptom of pride. What we need to do is listen with our ears and humble ourselves. Listen, there's a lot of things about Matt Gregory that needs to change. Thank God for a good wife who ain't afraid to tell me the truth. Can I get a witness, men? Amen. Number four, a sneaky symptom of pride is desperation for attention. You're desperate. You want attention, you'll do anything to get attention. There's many ways to get attention. You can seek it out through the praise of men. Pride is hungry for attention, respect, and worship in all forms. We must realize this, church, that there are two kingdoms driven by two forces. Two kingdoms driven by two forces today. Pride is the law of hell, and humility is the law of heaven. It is the very essence of Christ is humility. And the very, listen, what made the devil a devil? Pride. What made this high-ranking angel a devil? Pride. Look at Jesus. Jesus was humble. He was a broken servant. Listen, whenever the Roman soldiers crucified Jesus, many scholars believe that they stripped him naked. He was naked upon the cross, marred more than any man. The Son of the living God. He was there. Jesus was when God made man. And how dare man crucify this Savior? But yet he humbled himself, the Bible said in Hebrews, and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Jesus could humble himself, but we find it hard to. What we need to do is go pray through, church. I've had to pray through a whole lot of times because pride is a deadly sin that can destroy you. It will destroy you. In closing, I want to compare the two kingdoms, and I want you to listen very closely because I'm going to do a comparison and contrast. I want to show you two kingdoms, the attributes of a proud individual in the attributes of a humble person. Number one, proud people focus on the failures of others. On the contrary, broken people are overwhelmed with their sense of their own spiritual need. Look at those two things. One, the proud man looks at every fault in someone else. The humble person is overwhelmed with the sense of their own spiritual need, and how could they judge someone else? Proud people have a critical fault-finding spirit. They look at everyone else's fault with a microscope, but with theirs with a telescope. Is that not true? Broken people are compassionate. They can forgive much because they know how much they have been forgiven. Proud people are self-righteous. They look down on others. Broken people esteem all others better than themselves. Proud people have an independent, self-sufficient spirit. But on the contrary, broken people have a dependent spirit. They recognize their need for others. Proud people, here it is. They have to prove that they are right. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I got a pretty good list here. I don't care if you're right biblically, morally. There are times that you need to back off. I didn't say there are times that you need to compromise, but there's a time that you need to, your spirit's getting in the wrong direction. You can be 100% right theologically or morally, but be wrong spiritually or with your spirit man and have a bad spirit. Broken people are willing to yield the right, their right to be right. Brother Martin said this years ago. And I'll never forget this story. He said, up in the mountains, the mountain goats, they'll meet on a ledge. It may be 4 or 5 inches. And they meet another mountain goat. And if they were to ram each other, which they would normally do on the ground, they'd both fall to their death. So what do they do to survive? One mountain goat will lay down and let the other mountain goat walk on them. You say, well, ain't nobody walking on me because you're proud. Sometimes you've got to do those things in order to save a marriage. I didn't say, oh, come on. No. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just got to humble yourself and you've got to completely ignore your own will and way in order to see their side of the story. Can I get a witness? Broken people yield their rights and they have a meek spirit. Proud people are self-protective of their time, their rights, and their reputation. Broken people are self-denying. Proud people desire to be served. Broken people are motivated to serve others. Proud people desire to be a success. Broken people are motivated to be a faithful and make others a success. Proud people desire self-advancement. Broken people desire to promote others. Proud people have a drive to be recognized and appreciated. Broken people have a sense of their own unworthiness. They are thrilled that God would use them at all. Proud people are wounded when others get promoted and they are overlooked. Broken people are eager for others to get the credit. They rejoice when others are lifted up. Proud people have a subconscious feeling. This ministry church is privileged to have me and my gifts. They think of what they can do for God. Broken people's heart. Their attitude, I don't deserve to be a part of any ministry. They know that they have nothing to offer God except the life Jesus flowing through their broken lives. Someone come to the piano. Hear me today. There are things that we can see that manifest themselves very easily in pride. There's many faces and there's hundreds of faces that we can't cover in this service today. But I want to tell you something. When you look at revival and God changing society and God doing a deep work and doing miracles among the land. If you'll look in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we all can quote it by heart. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will come and heal their land. One of the very first things that he said, the very first thing that he says, if my people will humble themselves. This is a scripture that says this, basically. You do your part and I'll do mine. But if you don't, I won't. Some of us are so proud. We're so proud. We don't want to admit when we're wrong. We don't want to say we're sorry. We get offended. Am I preaching to the pews? Are you with me today? Am I the only one guilty of this stuff? Can we stand? It's something about this old flesh because it'll manifest This flesh will manifest in the most awkward ways. At the beginning of this service today, I said this. Pride is at the root of almost every sin. I believe it's the mother of all sins. Satan became Satan because he was lofty. He wanted to be like God. I. Even if your I is, I don't understand why they did this to me. That's a form of pride. Do you know that? I don't understand why I'm not being used like everybody else. That's a form of pride. I don't understand why this was said and that was said and why I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. Listen to me. If you don't get that out and get it under the blood, God's not going to answer the cry of your heart. If my people would humble themselves, none of us in this church or outside of this church, in any church, deserve to be used in the kingdom. None of us deserve to be saved. What do I deserve? Matt Gregory deserves eternal damnation in hell. That's what I deserve. None of us have rights. When you come to Jesus, are you with me? When you get saved, you lost your rights. And a dead person is not supposed to have feelings. Do we? Absolutely. We do. I have feelings. But what it comes down to, we're not dead to self. We're not dead to self. We've got to die to self. There are some issues, and I can tell you about, I know instruction of the Holy Ghost dealt with me to preach this message. There are issues within homes right now because there's pride. You may think about your spouse and go, yeah, they're eat up with pride. You are too. I remember one day I was telling my wife, I said, babe, that's pride. And she pointed something out in me and she said, that's pride too. I'm like, you're right. That's pride too. We want to be right. We want people to view us a certain way. Image is everything, right? We've got an image to uphold, right? We don't want anybody to think differently of us. I believe there's a good kind of a pride where you take pride in your work. You want to do everything as unto the Lord. You want to look nice. Your kids are out there and you're like, man, they've worked hard. And where does it cross over into being evil? It's a fine line. Be very, very careful. You'll never be more like the devil when you manifest pride. And you'll never be more like Jesus when you humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I've had to go back to a car lot about 15 years ago. I mean, I had a salesman. Maybe it was a little bit longer. It was 18 years ago. I just got married. And I wanted to get this guy in trouble because he really made me mad. I had to go back and fix that with that boss, his boss, and say that that wasn't all true. That was hard to do. I've had to go to my kids and say, Dad was wrong. The way I talked to you was wrong. My attitude was wrong. Will you please forgive me? You know what it did? Healing came over their face. Doesn't make you any less of a man when you go to your kids and say, listen, Daddy was wrong. It makes you more of a man. Because they already know you were wrong. It doesn't make you any more right to stick your heels in the ground and say, I'm right, I'm just going to stand on this. No. I've had to apologize to Gustavo. This guy right here, man, he's been working here since he was a little bitty kid. He's 12 years old, 13 years old. He'd break something, and he'd say, why don't you scream at me? I'm like, it's okay. He's a little bitty kid. But there'd be a time I'd say, Gus, and I'd go back and I'd say, I was a little bit rough. Forgive me. Oh, brother, man, don't you worry about anything. You hear me? Some of your prayers are being hindered because of the way you treat your children, the way you treat your spouse. You refuse to fix that situation. There's constantly things being manifested. You're bothered. You're bothered all the time. You're flustered all the time about little things. And you don't know why. It's pride. You're worried about what they're going to say about you. Who cares what they say about you? Yeah, it's just pride. But they're probably talking about me. Who cares? People talk about me all the time. You know what I do? I just don't let it bother me. It would bother me if I thought about it. I act like it don't happen, right? I do. Or it'd make me crazy. Some of you need to make it right here at this altar today. The Holy Ghost has revealed some things to you. There's a lot more. Maybe I didn't touch on it this morning, specifically what you're dealing with when it comes to pride. The Holy Ghost did. And you need to deal with it at this altar. Some of you are going to ruin relationships. And listen to this. I'm going to say this, and then we're going to come and pray. The difference in you sticking your heels in the ground and being proud, a big man or a strong woman, ain't no man going to talk to me like that. I'll tell you what, they did it before, and nobody will do that to me again. Yeah, that's why there's destruction all in your life. That's why there's destruction all in your life. That's what. Just look at the fruit. Look around you. I'm not speaking to anyone specifically. I'm just telling you, pride always goes right before destruction. And a haughty spirit right before the fall. It may not be that your life personally that's being under that destructive hand of God. But I can tell you this, somebody close to you that you have influenced possibly is. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. God wants to do surgery at this altar today. He's going to do surgery at this altar today because God is dealing with folks. I want us all to come. I want us all to come and find a place to pray, either stand up against the wall, kneel at an altar, stand in the pews, kneel at an altar. Because every one of us in this house, every one of us, including this preacher, struggles with pride manifesting in our lives. It's going to destroy you. Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and God will lift you up.